Right, so let's start from the beginning then. Where and how did your career begin?
Well, my career began, oddly enough, when I was in the Boys' Brigade. Mm-hmm. I was a BBE lad, and the church hall that we used to hold weekly sort of meetings in had an amateur drama club, and I went to see them with a bunch of my mates, went to see one of the productions. And I don't know, I just really fancied doing something on the stage. I was already singing with a pal of mine, a guy called Tony Christie I was at school with, and he was also in my BB group. And he played guitar and sang, and I played drums. Because I was learning to play drums in the BB, and he asked me if I wanted to, you know, form a group.
Absolutely.
And the group was just basically him and me. So I played drums, and he played guitar and sang. So that was a kind of taste of show business. And then when I saw the amateur drama company at the church hall, I asked to join them, and they took me in, and that was the start of it, really.
Wow, well, so let me ask you, how did the role of DCI Matt Burke come about then?
That came about in the way that most things come about. You know, I was asked to do it, and my agent called me up. But, you know, looking back on it, I can see now the kind of genesis of the thing. I did a film called Beautiful Creatures with Rachel Weisz. Mm-hmm. And I played a kind of pretty nasty detective inspector in that. And the guy who was the first assistant on the film was a bloke called Graham Gordon. And mm-hmm. We got on famously, you know, with a good time and really kind of shared the same sense of humor and things. And I never thought any more about it. The film finished, da-di-da. Next thing I know, Graham Gordon has become producer, the new producer of the newly revamped Taggart. And I get a call from my agent saying, Graham Gordon would like to see you with a view to being in Taggart.
Mm.
And I knew that the, I think it was Robert Robertson who was who played the forensic pathologist at the time. I knew that he wasn't doing it anymore. And I thought, oh, it'll be for the forensic guy. And I thought, I don't really know if I want to do that. You know, it's not really my cup of tea. And she said, no. She said, my agent said, it's to play the leading detective. I thought, really? Anyway, so I went to meet with Graham, and he said, sure enough, that's what we want you for. Are you interested in doing it? I said, oh, yes, you bet your boots I'm interested.
Absolutely.
So that's how that came about. And it was really all to do with that film, with working with Graham in Beautiful Creatures. And although I didn't realise at the time, you know, that turned out to be my kind of unofficial audition for Taggart. You know, when he started doing Taggart, he thought, we want to get somebody in here who's going to really kind of rattle everybody's cage.
Absolutely.
And you must have thought of my performance in Beautiful Creatures. So,
you must have done.
I ended up
you must
being
have done.
DCI Burke.
And 28 years, of course, that Taggart was on the network. There's got to be some highlights from that, has there?
What, from the time I was in it?
Yeah, from the time you were in it, yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, it was a long sort of grueling job. There wasn't a lot of time for fun and games on it, you know, with a pretty punishing schedule. But there was one wonderful one. Mm-hmm. That I remember, I'll never forget. We were filming in front of, I think it was Central Station in Glasgow.
Yeah.
And we took a break in the film, and as you do, while they're setting up lights, setting up cameras, and we're just kind of standing there. And this wee sort of Glasgow wifey came up to Blythe Duff, and said to Blythe, she said, "What is it you're doing here, dear?" And Blythe said, "Oh, well, we're filming. We're doing some filming." Oh, she said, "Oh, what's it for?" And Blythe said, it's for Taggart. And she said, oh, Taggart, is it a repeat?
love it, brilliant.
I'll never forget that.
Absolutely.
That really stays with me.
Of course, as well, the famous line in Taggart, "Nobody move, there's been a murder." Surely you must get that from a lot of people even now down the line.
Yeah, I do sometimes. You know, certainly when I go back to Glasgow, it's, you know, people say, oh, no, your face, what, has there been a murder?
Exactly.
No, heard that one for a while.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
But apparently nobody actually ever said that in Taggart.
Did they not?
It's a bit like, you know, in Sherlock Holmes. I don't think Sherlock Holmes ever said "Elementary, my dear Watson."
Mm.
That was just one of those things that came, you know, became kind of mythologized.
Of course.
I don't think Mark McManus ever actually said, "There's been a murder." Apparently he did say it in one episode, "There's been another murder."
Uh-huh, of
so
course.
That got kind of condensed down to "there's been a murder." And
exactly.
That was a catchphrase.
Exactly.
And actually, we tried, when we were doing the things, we were so conscious of using the word murder that we we'd always try and look for an alternative word.
Aye, of course. Somebody's
been killed, or there's been a killing, or anything but murder.
Someone has been deceased lying on the ground. Was there a favourite episode of yours from in your time as DCI Matt Burke?
Oh, well, I suppose, yes, there was a favourite episode that was written about. Because, I mean, most of the episodes were just about, you know, the kind of the plot and who done it and, you know, who was eventually guilty and all that. But every now and again, you got a glimpse into the sort of background of the characters. Mm-hmm. And there was one that was written where you got a kind of glimpse into Matt Burke's background, and it was to do with his father.
Oh, yes, I remember that one.
And he kind of... We go into the country, which is kind of unusual for Taggart, you know, mainly it's set in the city and around Glasgow. But there was one that we had to go into the country for, and it was to do with sort of young farmers being murdered. Mm-hmm. And I kind of become friendly with this old fella who's an old farmer who's lost his head to BSE stuff that went on then. And he becomes a kind of sort of bit of a father figure to Matt Burke. And Matt talks about his own dad and his relationship with his father. And it was great, you know, to get my teeth into a bit of that stuff rather than just being the sort of aggressive, you know, detective inspector all the time. Mm-hmm. To actually get a wee bit of you know, human background into the character. So that was my favourite episode.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, one of the questions as well, even do you think when Taggart would, if it was brought back, how popular do you think it would be, given that the Bill, the English police drama, is no longer on our screens, how popular do you think the Scottish version of that would be?
Well, I think Taggart would be if they ever brought it back. And if they do, I mean, I certainly have no inkling whether they would or not. And if they do bring it back, they may well bring it back in a different, you know, different format, different characters. I really have no idea. But the thing about Taggart is over the years, it's kind of kept reinventing itself. You know, in the early Taggart episodes they did with Mark, who was brilliant. I mean, he was just mm-hmm. fantastic in it. He was born to play that part. But you look back at them, and although the plots are great and all that stuff, the style of Taggart is dated. You know, those early ones, it's dated style. You couldn't really do that again.
No.
Things have moved on in that genre. You've got all those sort of Scandinavian sort of dark things coming in, like The King and Borgen and all that sort of thing. So I think Taggart, if it did ever come back, could sort of reinvent itself in a different style, in a different way. And I think, you know, when they stopped making them, it was still immensely popular. It was still getting, the repeats were getting higher viewing figures than a lot of new dramas.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was, you know, there were various reasons why they stopped it. None of them were to do with the fact that it was losing viewing figures or losing popularity. You know, it was all to do with funding and da-di-da.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know these things.
Of course.
Just a higher pad.
Yeah, exactly.
But, they obviously had reasons why they couldn't afford to go on making Taggart anymore. Mm-hmm. And maybe those reasons have changed. Maybe things have changed financially or whatever. I don't know.
Maybe they have.
But I'm sure if they did bring it back, they could revamp it, give it a new sort of look and a new feel. And I think it would be just as popular. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a very popular series. And in fact, you know, one of the things I remember when I was talking to Robert Love, who was the original producer of Taggart, when Mark McManus died, they wondered what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, they were in a bit of a conundrum, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. They thought, well, what do we just pull the plugs in the series? Do we keep it going and do we call it something else? And they went through all those decisions. They went, you know, they thought, do we call it Taggart's People or Taggart's Patch or Taggart's Beat or something? And then they realized, of course, that the brand name was Taggart. That was a big popular brand.
Mm-hmm.
So they just kept calling it Taggart, and that's why it's kind of gone down in, I suppose, television history as the only series ever made named after the main character who doesn't exist anymore.
Of course.
You know, so I think, you know, Taggart is Taggart. It's like Doctor Who. You can have different Doctor Whos. I think you can have different sort of you know, leading detectives, older detectives, the old, you know, crusty kind of leading guy, and the younger sort of team around them to play against.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would, if it came back, it would have a lot of life in it.
It would be. You never know. They could do a story about the Glasgow cone saving the cone, although the cone could get used to the traffic cone on the
bridge. I'm sorry, you're very faint. Can you say that again?
I was saying they could do a story in terms of, you know, how they do the monument in Glasgow's George Square. how they've got the the cone on the top of the head. They could have done something with that. You never know if it's
You never know. You never know. Anything's possible.
Exactly.
And the thing is, you've got Glasgow, this amazing city, as a backdrop. You know, and you could go anywhere with Taggart. We went everywhere. We went from sort of low life, you know, slums and up closes and, you know, tenement buildings and housing estates to some of the finest Victorian architecture in the world, really. You know, Glasgow's an amazing city to set a detective story and detective series in. So anything's possible.
Anything is. Anything is. Who were your heroes when you were growing up then? Hello?
Sorry, say that again. I was saying,
who were your heroes when you were growing up?
Oh, my heroes when I was growing up. Gosh, who were my heroes? I suppose my heroes really were musicians. There were some actors who were my heroes. Mainly, I'll tell you who was my real hero when I was growing up, was Sean Connery.
Oh, good choice.
I went to see him when I think it was about 11 or 12, was 12 maybe 13, when I went to see the very first Bond film, Dr. No.
Mm-hmm.
And it just blew me away. I thought, this guy's amazing. This guy's a real hero. And then I discovered he was a working class guy from Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, my God, you know, maybe if he can do it, maybe there's a slim outside chance I could do it.
You never know.
I could actually get into that business and be in television or be in the movies. So, you know, he was a great hero of mine and still is. You know, I think he's an amazing man, a great example of what you can do when you put your mind to it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I've got to ask, you were working in Waterloo Road as the rebel head teacher from Havelock High. What was that like? Surely that's got to be something in itself.
What was the question?
What was it like working in Waterloo Road as the?
What was it like?
Yeah.
Oh, it was a nice wee gig. Originally, they fancied the character lasting for longer than that. They I think the writers had in mind that there would be a rivalry between the two schools, and you know, when they asked to see me about it, it was going to be like a year's work at least, playing this, and they'll, you know, be built into the plot. There'll be this ongoing rivalry. But then I think they figured just how expensive that would be to have two schools full of staff, you know, full of pupils, all that sort of thing. And they decided not to. They decided just that he would be there for the beginning when they relocated the school to Greenock, that he would be a kind of, you know, opposite sort of character, a curmudgeonly kind of character who would try and close the school down, but then he would be defeated, and that would be the kind of the end of that storyline. And that suited me fine, because I didn't really want to be up there in Scotland, because I live in London, you know, and that's, I live in London for the usual reason that Scots are in exile, to try and sort of get more work, really.
Exactly.
And so it would mean that I would have to, you know, be away from my family for a year and live up there and all that sort of thing. And it was kind of difficult enough on Taggart. But at least, you know, I got back down every weekend when we were filming in Glasgow. But it wouldn't have been like that with Waterloo Road. I really would have been pretty much up there for the whole year. And I just thought, oh, God, that's going to bring a few problems.
Exactly.
So I was quite glad when they cut it down to 5 episodes. And it was a nice part to play. You know, I got to chew the scenery a bit when I had the guy has a kind of breakdown at the end.
Yeah.
And that was fine. That does me fine. I'm not a great one for doing long, long runs. Although, you know, actors like to, you know, the security of it, you know, knowing where the next sort of paycheck's coming from. I quite like just having my freedom. You know, that's one of the reasons I wanted to become an actor was to have a bit of a sense of freedom.
Exactly.
And if I do something for too long, it's a wee bit like being in jail, you know.
So what's next in the pipeline then? Anything?
I just accepted a job yesterday. I'm doing a thing for BBC, BBC One. It's a sort of comedy drama thing called Happy New Year.
All right.
And it's set in Glasgow on New Year's Eve, and I think that's what it's going to be transmitted is around that. I'm not sure, but I've only just accepted it yesterday, so I don't really know too many of the details. But it's a very good script, very funny, and I'm playing the father in this family, and sort of everybody, you know, the sons and the neighbours and relatives all turn up at New Year. So it's set around a Scottish Hermione.
Sounds
so
lovely.
We start on the 22nd of November rehearsing that. We rehearse in London, then we shoot it up in Glasgow. So that's the sort of thing I love doing.
of course.
That's what I'm doing next.
So are they taking away finally only an excuse and replacing it with something else rather than Jackie Bird seeing in the belt?
Maybe. I'm sure there's space for only an excuse as well.
I'm sure there will be.
Now, I've got another thing that's a recorder. I think's going out New Year's Eve.
Oh.
For BBC Scotland, it's about Scottish accents. It's called Dream Me Up, Scotty.
Oh.
And it's about Scottish accents in television and on screen and all that sort of thing over the years. And it's very, very funny. I saw a cut of it. You know, they sent me a DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of present it. But it's very, very funny. All these terrible cod Scottish accents that we've had to sort of put up with over the years. You know, from Scotty in Star Trek,
yeah.
Way back to... Catherine Hepburn doing a thing called The Little Minister with the worst Scottish accent you've ever heard in your puff. So it's very funny. I think that'll go down well.
Oh, I'm sure.
So I may well be on two programmes on New Year's Eve.
Even better. And they say men can't multitask. I'm just going back to Taggart for a brief second. How much of the character you played is you, and how much of it scripted? Just out of general
curiosity. Oh, it's all scripted. I mean, the character was as written, you know. Graham Gordon, I think, had in mind what sort of character they wanted. They wanted somebody who was older, somebody who really took no prisoners. Drama is conflict, as they say, and they wanted somebody who was going to come in and create conflict. Who would be an older, experienced copper who would make everybody jump through hoops before he would accept that they were part of his team. And that, you know, that kind of got the viewing figures back again to see what would happen if he was going to get rid of anybody, Blythe or John or Colin. He might just turn around and say, you're no good enough, get out. So that all that was good, you know, and that was all scripted. But when you play a character like that, or at least, when I do, I try to sort of find the part of me, the inside me, because I try and sort of work from the inside out. And I look for the part inside me that is like that. And you look back and you think of situations where you've personally sort of lost the rag with people or been angry.
Mm-hmm.
And you channel that, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
without
absolutely.
Without getting too sort of help myself about it. That's what you do. You sort of look for that, because otherwise you're just kind of acting it. You know, it's just cardboard acting.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've got to look within yourself. So you try and find aspects of yourself and think, well, what would I be like if instead of being an actor, I had gone into the police force, I had become a detective and worked my way up through the ranks? How would I react to the situation? How would I behave? How would I, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I looked for that, basically.
I know exactly what you mean.
Matt Buck's sort of inner... anger with things.
Indeed. Well, Alex, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. All the best. Wish you all the best for the upcoming future projects in the pipeline.
You.
And we'll hope to talk to you again soon. Okay.
Thanks, all. Good luck with the radio.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.